Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the SOM TV podcast. My name is Jason Wise. Today is very, very, very special for me. I am coming from Santa Barbara with the main, maybe the main character of my next feature film? Are you the main character?
I'm not the main character.
All right. Stephanie Mutz.
One of many.
Who is a sea urchin diver. I have been working on a film for, let's call it 6 or 7 years, all shot on film. And it comes out this week at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival. It's the world premiere. I am freaking out a little bit and terrified and wearing an adult diaper because of it. But Steph and I today, we are going to talk about our top 5 sea urchin dishes and the food and the wine or alcohol or beverage that was paired or we would pair with them. But first, why don't we talk just for a minute? No spoilers on the movie, but let's talk about this movie for a minute.
Okay.
So, what do you think? We're here.
I never thought I'd see the day.
How long?
In a good way, though. I mean, it was a long process, but I think it was imperative to have this long process and see, because you definitely had pinpointed the evolution of essentially the last 5 or 6 years of our industry and how much it's changed immensely.
I mean, this film actually, good and bad. The weird part about this film is it starts in the present day, then it goes back 2,000 years, then it goes back to the 70s, then it goes to the present day. It was a challenge, this movie. I can't tell if I'm just happy it's out or so excited for people to see it. I'm like feeling a lot of emotions.
You mean like happy it's done and not like behind me and I can just continue on? Or happy like you get to – I would encourage you to enjoy the ride of it.
I'm going to try.
It hasn't come out yet.
Everybody tells me that. You know, the wild thing with this film, and I have to say it's the first time I actually got to make a film the way I wanted to, in the way that I got to shoot it how I wanted to. It's all shot on film, like celluloid, no video for people who are – you know, most people don't. They don't go into this going, what's something shot on? But as a filmmaker, it's imperative that you do things the way you want to. I got to shoot it on film. The score is done by a brilliant composer with an entire orchestra, so like real instruments. And it was shot in the elements, underwater, above water, and in the some of the greatest restaurants, in my opinion, in the entire world.
Agreed.
I just so people understand, Stephanie's job is to put on a wetsuit, go down in very cold water, in a very beautiful but dangerous place, and pluck sea urchins off the bottom of the ocean. She has a biology background, so she is somebody who's very different than your typical fisherman, aside from the fact that you don't have, you know, you're not a male.
Which is also. Thank goodness.
Yeah, right. Well, it's just this movie is, but it's also centered around this animal that I happen to love to eat. And I think a lot of people would either look at the sea urchin and go, you eat that? Or they're obsessed with it. There's not much of a middle ground where people casually eat this food, you know?
People are either obsessed with it or they can't be bothered with it. Or there's actually a little bit of an in between in that they're intrigued.
Yeah.
They've heard like some of their friends are like fanatics about it, but they may have already had a bad experience eating a bad sea urchin. Such thing as a bad sea urchin.
Of course, there's a bad anything. I mean,
totally. Yeah. Meaning it was served. It was not served properly. It was old. That sort of thing.
Right.
But so it's nothing to do really with the actual animal or what it is.
I will say I think sea urchin is one of the most delicious, interesting, unique foods on the planet. So I don't, you know, my thing is with people, I do think sea urchins are much like and this is a weird analogy, but much like a city that you love. If you don't see it the right way first, sometimes you can go, well, I don't like.
Totally.
You know, I don't like this town. And it's like, well, how can you not like that town? It's just really, you were introduced to it the wrong way.
I agree.
And I think that's the same with oysters too. It can be, but urchin.
Along that same line, or there's people who don't like to get out of sight of their comfort zones. So they don't like, I didn't like it because it was a new city. It was completely different than my hometown. So I didn't like it. So if we've talked about it before, sea urchin is nothing, it tastes like nothing.
Nothing else
in the world. We do,
we attempt in the film to explain what sea urchin tastes like.
Because it doesn't taste like really anything else in the world, like, so people who have not tasted it before, like, well, how the heck am I going to know if I like it or not? A lot of times we'll gauge people whether you'll like it or not, do you like oysters? Mm-hmm. And you have it, or do you have a texture issue with your food?
Right.
If the answer is yes, I like oysters. No, I don't have a texture issue. Then I pretty much, guarantee you're going to like Sea Urchin.
Right. I'm with you on that. But I also, I think that eating, I guess it's not, it just depends where you are in the world that it's strange. If you're in Japan, sea urchin's not a strange thing at all to eat. If you're—
Europe too.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. In Italy, it's a common, very common thing. Greece. All right. So let's—
And now California.
Yeah, now California.
Well, the last 10 years, California, it's quite common.
And I think this film is not going to do—
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm from Ohio, and I can't remember ever seeing sea urchin anywhere.
Thank goodness, because it's probably too far away from the ocean.
Yeah, I know. I mean, airplanes are pretty magical, but you do want to eat this stuff on the coast if you can. So, all right. So this is a mostly wine podcast, but this Somm TV is about food and wine. And I think sea urchin is the— I'm not kidding here when I say this. Without hyperbole, one of the greatest things on the planet to pair with beverage. It reacts and interacts with wine and sake and beer and even tea and juice like almost no other food I've ever tasted.
And the reason being is because of the complexity mm-hmm. of flavors within the with a single bite. You know, you start out as and every bite is different.
Yeah, well, it moves to different parts of your tongue too. I mean, if you eat it and just focus on the tip of your tongue, it is very sweet. If you go to the back, it's very umami, mushroomy, something very
avocado-y,
soy saucy. Avocado is like— that's a good texture comparison. Avocado, because it is kind of avocado texturally, and also the fat feeling that you get in your mouth is like avocado.
Avocado custard, yeah.
Yeah. That's why it is such a hard thing to describe. And with a lot of wine, I want to be nice here. A lot of describing wine can be a lot of bullshit. Meaning people are, you know, in my films, people are trying to recall what a wine is. So when they're describing things like fresh cut tennis balls and things like that, they're really not saying the wine tastes like that. They're trying to remember what the wine was. So I want to make sure that that's clear. But when a lot of people are describing a wine and they're saying things like wheatgrass shot that's been heated up and has sugar sprinkled in, a lot of that's full of shit. But the truth is, some wines deserve that kind of, I don't know how to describe it, so I'm going to come up with something magical because I don't know how else.
An analogy.
And that a lot of these descriptors are an analogy, but with sea urchin, it is so complex that it can only be talked about in these esoteric ways. I mean, for instance, if I were to tell you sea urchin tastes sweet and it tastes umami and it tastes like fatty and it tastes metallic, you'd be like, what? But there's no other way to describe it.
Tastes like a sweet ocean.
Yeah. But normal people, and normals in quote marks, I mean, they would go, eat the ocean, what? But to people who chase unique food experiences, the ocean is so complex. Think about if somebody describes it's an ocean of this, they're talking about it's a lot. It's a lot of things. So when you say it tastes like a sweet ocean, I see it tastes like a sweet millions of things. I mean, that's what really—
I love that. I never thought of it in that aspect, but yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. And I do want to say one thing that I will be saying a lot on this like press tour is that I think the word terroir is overused in wine. It's a very valid word. It's a word that is totally true. Wine tastes like where it's from. But wine also goes through a fermentation process. It also has hands in it in a lot of cases. You know, so you can lose a lot of the actual land it's from.
Manipulation can go into it.
Yeah, and that's okay. I'm not putting a negative or a positive on that statement. Here's the difference with sea urchin, which I think has the most terroir of anything I've ever eaten or drank. I mean, gastronomically, sea urchin literally tastes exactly like where it's from and
Absolutely.
What it eats. Exactly. And it happens really quick. Whereas vines, you know, you have a 100-year-old Zinfandel vine from a certain place. Okay. But a sea urchin, in a week of eating a certain kind of seaweed, can taste vastly different than it did the week before, right?
I have a great story if you want to, I mean, it supports what you just said.
To the millions of sea urchin heads that are listening to this.
Well, and I'll make it fast. Because,
We've worked
for the past like many years with Connie and Ted's, Michael Cimarusti restaurant, in WeHo. And they have a little bit of a taste of every single urchin that goes out to the floor. And the executive chef, Sam Baxter, he's the one that's tasting them. And he comes back and he says, Steph, every single urchin just tasted very bitter. The color was fantastic. The yields were fantastic. Like, they were alive. Like, it wasn't bad. It just tasted very bitter. And we did, so we went back, Harry and I went back to the, to where we were to kind of assess the situation, figure it out. Turns out it was 2015, an El Nino year, really warm water, and we were very shallow, and all this new foliaceous, or different foliaceous brown algae was growing, and they were eating that. And we're like, we figured it out. We're like, ah, okay, well, we're not going to come back here again. And it was so integral to have that communication with the chef, who was very thoughtful and conscious of this whole thing. And he's had plenty of our urchin before this, so he knew something was a little bit off.
Right.
And we figured that out, and it never happened again.
Yeah, see, you don't see that. I mean, wine definitely has terroir. I'll get emails, and I know you guys are all going to destroy me on Twitter for saying the terroir is overused, but there are wines that have this, but that's a perfect example of when something
change. There's no chance to manipulate this urchin. We literally pluck it out of the ocean and hand it to chefs and hand it to the consumer while it's still alive. Don't freak out. Yeah. And you don't want to eat a dead sea urchin. That's bad news. So yeah. Just you cut it open, you eat it right out of the shell.
Right. All right, so let's talk about our top five sea urchin dishes that I know the world is hotly anticipating. Our top five sea urchin dishes. All right. Let's start with our number five, okay? I'm gonna go right to San Francisco, a place called Third Cousin. They make this wacky-ass uni caviar fish egg creme brulee. It's like this, and then they torch the top of it. There's a shot of it in the film, and it is so bizarre and so delicious and so strange, and it's something you have to try, especially if you are, if you're like a foodie or whatever that means, you definitely have to try it. But if you're just a normal person in San Francisco, you got to go to Third Cousin and try it. I had it with a Mathiasen white wine. Steve Mathiasen's been in a bunch of our wine films. His white wine pairs with sea urchin so incredibly well. It was one of the reasons I wanted to make this film is because I had Steve Mathiasen's white wine with raw uni at one point, and I was like, oh my God. So, okay, what's your number five?
My number five, I'm going to stay local. Industrial Eats in Buellton, just outside in the wine country in Santa Barbara. And it was basically I brought some urchin to his restaurant and I said, surprise me. And this is actually a somewhat regular item on his menu now, but you have to tell him, surprise me. And it's a fried wonton with prosciutto, avocado, a slice of persimmon, some uni, some basil, caviar, and it's a bite. And it's basically a bite that you put the whole thing in your mouth, kind of like sushi, and you've got so many textures, so many flavors. Like the uni's already, the urchin's already complex in flavors, but you got all these other aspects, herbal and woody aspects that go along with it, and pair it with a Malvasia.
Malvasia.
I thought it was Malvasia. Tomato. Come on.
That's a
urchin diver, not a wine girl.
That's a very floral wine. I love it.
Yeah. So that basically, because it has all that herbal woody stuff, then it's, I like to drink my pairings. I like contrast. Some people like to pair their food with a wine that's something similar. I like a contrast.
Oh, I love that so much. It's great. All right. Number four, I am going with uni in udon soup with noodles from Murigame Manzo, which is a place in Little Tokyo in Los Angeles. And this is just like, it is wonderful, like just comfort, salty, delicious noodles and broth with uni on top. And you mix it in and it gives this kind of like beautiful fatty kind of flavor to the broth. And once you mix it in and you just have an Asahi beer with that, it is like the most like simple, you know, unpretentious meal. It's fantastic.
Wow. My number four is I have a Vietnamese customer, ultimate consumer at one of my markets. She described this preparation to me, and you open up, you cut out the bottom of an urchin and clean it all out, crack an egg in it, and put it on a smoker. And you smoke it until the consistency in which you like your egg, put a little sea salt, little basil on it, and then maybe like even a little bit of rice, and you eat it right out of the shell.
Holy smokes.
So it's smoked, it's cooked, it's creamy, and then pair it with a young Pinot Noir. And I've found this out. It's actually definitely one of my favorite ways to eat it. And it definitely has to be a bit of a young Pinot Noir. And I remember a few years ago, we were invited to give a talk at World of Pinot Noir. And they called and they said, yeah, we want you to do a pairing. I'm like, yeah, I'm the urchin girl. Go talk to the black cod guy. You know, like, you're nuts. Pinot Noir and urchin. They said, no, we know what we're talking about. And so we did, to prepare for this event, we actually did a lot of homework, paired a lot of Pinot Noir with the urchin, and found that the young Pinot Noir are, they're not as, you know, older Pinot Noirs are.
They lose the acidity, or they
will. You're definitely lose acidity, but they're also set in their way already. They're not gonna be flexible with the flavors of the urchin. Then it just overpowers the urchin, and it doesn't pair well. It's just like, it just dominates a bit.
And so there's a master sommelier named Yun Ha who's in the film, and he's the only wine person in this new Delicacy film. But he always talks about how egg is so tough to pair wine with, because there's this thing called albumin in egg, and it gives this weird, it's like the eggy flavor, and it makes it tough. And that's very fast. I cannot wait to try that. That is awesome. Great. All right, number three. In Carmel, a place we filmed at, there's a chef named Justin Cogley, and he works at Aubergine, which means eggplant in France, French, I believe. He did this dish. Again, sometimes simpler is the most incredible thing with sea urchin. And he did this dish, which is just uni on top of gelatinized seawater. So it's like salty gelatin seawater with uni on top, and then caviar on top of that, and a little bit of like salt. And that is it. And we had it with a really dry German Riesling, and it was just, I mean, I'm serious. I can still taste it. It was amazing. And he's a great chef. He's in the film too.
Nice. Yeah. My third, number three, would be a crab meat and uni dish from that Nikki Yakiyama in Naka prepares. And I would pair that with a muscadet.
That's
great. Did I say that right?
I'm just kidding. I'm such a jerk. That's a great call. Muscadet is like a great, like, real racy acid would cut right through that. That's good. I'm sorry. I am not a wine. Listen, I am not a wine expert. I am just someone who films wine experts. I think, I'm a jerk.
So you get served in the urchin shell and with the crab meat and then some uni on top. And it's just super plain. It's super simple. But you get all the flavors of all the goodness in that dish.
Oh, that's so great.
So they're definitely, Nikki and Carol are definitely one of my most favorite chefs to work with as well.
Fantastic. Love it. My number two is at a 3-star Michelin restaurant, which not a lot of people get to go to these types of restaurants, but when you film in them and you deliver your food to them, we get to do it. So it's Single Thread Restaurant up in Healdsburg. And I think Chef Kyle, who's there, Kyle Connaughton, he is one of the country's, if not the world's, greatest chefs. And from an innovation standpoint alone, let alone execution. He runs a kitchen that is just so incredible to watch. We have some stuff coming on SOM TV about this particular restaurant and its mechanics and him. But that aside, he's also a major person in the Delicacy of the film.
He has so much confidence that he has an open kitchen. So everyone, essentially, it's kind of like he's the stage.
Yeah.
It's part of your experience and of watching them prepare your food.
So that's why I had to make him it's the pinnacle dish in the film. It's a very important dish, and it comes after, I mean, no spoilers, but somebody passes away in the film. And I needed something that could follow such a powerful scene. And if it was going to be food, it had to be Single Thread. And so Kyle makes this dish in the film, which is uni with all sorts of different Japanese heirloom tomatoes, these very small tomatoes. Some are stewed, some are pickled, some are fresh, and it's, I think it's one of the most incredible bites I've ever had in my life. Forget about sea urchin. I mean, just in general. And Aaron Kosiba, who's the chef de cuisine there. The two of these wonderful people put together this dish that is outrageous. And we had a sake with it. It was an unfiltered sake that had a little tiny bit of sweetness, and it was just incredible. So that's my number two. Yeah. And you'll see that in the movie when you watch the film. It opens and closes with that dish.
My number two, I'm going to go back local again to my hometown, Los Alamos, California. Again, still in the wine country in San Ynez Valley. A place called Bell's. It's a French bistro. And they serve an uni crepe. So crepes with creme fraiche in between, and caviar, urchin, and chives on top, a little sea salt.
Oh, man.
And again, I think I'm very much of a texture eater. Flavors are good and all, but I definitely very much appreciate texture, and this is one of my very favorites. And you just, people tend to go and have one just to try, and then they order like one, another one. I mean, it happens pretty commonly. And I would pair it with a sparkling wine, probably preferably like a fuller-bodied California sparkly rather than a, you know, a dry brut by some means because of the freshness of the caviar and the
Hungry.
It just goes better.
We should go drink and eat caviar. We should go do that.
What else is new?
I know, right? I know. Oh my God. That's great. All right, so this is my number one, and this also is one of my number one experiences I've ever had, and I've had some pretty crazy ones. I was filming this film towards the beginning. I was diving with you underwater, and I went up to the surface because you were working. But I came up to the surface and got into the boat, took my wetsuit off. It's cold, and you had told me when you're done, there's a Modelo, a beer in the cooler. You can have a beer. And I, you know, Jackson and I were on the boat, and I just was like, man, I really looking forward to this beer. So I grabbed the beer, and you popped up. And you had a sea urchin in your hand, and you handed it to me. You're like, test this out. See if it's any good. It was this really big red.
That's how we do quality control.
And so you handed it to me, and you just dove back down. And I turned to Jackson. And I'm like, oh, my God. And you had a cracker inside the thing. So Jackson and I cracked the urchin. Jackson, I cracked the urchin open. We spooned out the roe right from the shell. Each of us had half of a shell. And cracked this beer open. It's probably 8 a.m. And I'm on a boat off the Channel Islands. We have a sip of the beer, eat the uni. And it was, I just looked at Jackson. I was like, this is what I wanted to do when I grew up.
Breakfast of champions.
Breakfast of champions. And it's my number one favorite sea urchin experience and dish I've ever had. I mean, the poor thing, I think it was alive when I was done eating it still. it was a marvelous experience. And
I think if I had to go back to like an urchin experience is to get people who may have been steered into, like had a bad experience before, and get them steered back into the good, you know, a better experience with real good quality urchin, and see them light up in aha moments. Those are very fun.
Yeah. Well, that experience I had early on in the filmmaking was where I realized there's no way I'm not finishing this film, no matter how long it takes.
Because you can eat more urchin.
Because I can eat more urchin like this, and it took 6 years, and I ate a hell of a lot more urchin along the way. So, all right, what is your number one sea urchin dish?
My number one would be a Chilean taco. It was made by Rodolfo Guzman from Chile. He was visiting California doing an Outstanding in the Field event. And it was a fermented potato with raw scallop. Oh, I'm sorry, with a green salsa and raw scallop and sea urchin. And I loved it because it was so different. And again, it was definitely those textures all together were phenomenal. Something that I never even a combination I never even considered before. And then I would love it. I think a Pinot Blanc would be a good.
Yeah, Pinot Blanc's a great, like an Alsace one or something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm serious. I want to go get food right now. All right. Listen, this has been an enormous pleasure. I can't wait for people to see this movie. Steph, you are a badass, in the film and in reality. And,
no one.
I don't know if I'll survive a sequel, so I don't know if we're doing that.
Yeah, but, right. I don't know. I don't think anyone else could do this film other than you, Jason Wise, because you
are an idiot.
Well, yeah, you have some kind of stupidity like we do as well as urchin divers.
Right.
Like that capacity. I mean, shoot, there are some days when it's just blowing like snot, but they're out there. There's no. There's this, okay, we're doing this. This is what life is about with your job. Like, you're out here, I'm out here. And, you know, because we would sometimes sit there and say, no, let's wait for a good weather day. Like, no, I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, no.
And then obviously it was quick to develop a trust with you, which is nice.
That means a lot. It only took 6 or 7 years.
Huh? That's it.
Well, okay. So everybody, this film is coming. It's going to be playing this week at the Santa Barbara National Film Festival. Two showings that are going to be, I think, pretty hard to get into because of it's a, kind of a hometown film. But we are starting really, really high-end event screenings coming up. New York, LA, San Francisco, Seattle. A lot are in the books, and then we're going to do some theatrical. So I go to, you know, we're on Instagram at @Delixy_film. Obviously, SOM TV will be posting updates. Stick with us here, guys. And please subscribe to SOM TV. Stephanie, if somebody wants Urchin, how do they get it from you?
How do they get it from us? So we have a couple distributors out of, if you were in New York, we have a couple distributors there now for the smaller purple urchin. We harvest two species of urchin now. And in California, every Saturday, I go down to Orange County to Costa Mesa and stop in LA on the way home and then Santa Barbara on the pier.
And the hustle is real for you.
Hustle's real, but the part of our business plan is to make urchin accessible, fresh live urchin accessible to the consumer, to restaurants,
It's like Andrew Zimmern says in the film, that this is the only food he knows of where people are actually paying what it's actually worth. I mean, it's like for the actual work you do and the animal as an animal, it's the only one. I mean,
funny you say that because there's times when people say like, oh, how much? And I'll tell them the price and they say, oh. And then they find out we die for them and we're picking them one by one. They're like, oh, okay, I'll have 10.
You know, it's like type thing. People have to attach something to it. So is there like an email or a website or a Twitter handle? Well, I mean, how can
we have Instagram, see Stephanie Fish with an Etsy A. And then we have a website, cstephaniefish.com.
And that has the information of where you're delivering and stuff?
Mostly Instagram has that information, and then you can always, text.
Guys, I'm telling you right now, get some wine, find a way to get Stephanie's urchin, and you'll get laid. It's amazing.
Not by me.
Not by Stephanie. But not,
maybe,
hopefully by somebody. Maybe by the urchin. I don't know. That could be fun. All right. Anyways, I will see you guys next week. I am going to go get drunk at a film festival.